Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully and mostly optimistically. The optimism, we know what the problem is, we know what the solution is. Let's do it. I just got back from a drive that took me along our beautiful Ruston Way. A perfect day, not too hot, not too cold, just right, and the folks are out enjoying it. Commencement Bay was kind of muddy colored from glacial runoff. Nothing unusual there, happens every summer, except that a little more comes off every year that then goes back in the form of snow. Mount Rainier has lost about 25% of its ice over the last 50 years or so. So I drive down Ruston Way, it's just very clear to me that everything that's going on down there is in one way or the other possible or caused by our burning of fossil fuels. Of course, the vehicles, the motorcycles, they're running off of fossil fuel. The buildings that are going up down there at Point Ruston, they're all going up powered by materials and equipment that runs on fossil fuels. Probably about the only folks along the way there that aren't run on fossil fuels are the joggers and the skateboarders. And they're breathing the fumes from the cars that are going by. Carbon monoxide, nitrous oxide, ozone, and particulate matter. Figure about 2,000 people a year in the state of Washington die from fossil fuel pollution. At the same time, I got to say, really, aren't we glad for what we got from fossil fuels? You and I might not think of ourselves as rich, but compared to folks from a few hundred years ago, we are dumbfoundingly wealthy, and we owe that wealth in large part to cheap fossil fuels. So let's be real. The problem is between climate change and pollution from burning fossil fuels, we just can't keep on doing this. We're in a slow motion train wreck and things are not going to end well if we don't change our ways. We can't keep on burning this dirty fuel and also this fuel that puts all that carbon dioxide out in the atmosphere, which is the number one contributor to our global warming situation. So a couple things real quick here. The only reason this system works is because the people who produce and the people who use fossil fuels aren't paying the costs of environmental damage, of health issues, premature deaths for other folks. That is all a freebie. Some people are using the product, some people are profiting from the product, and other people are paying a big chunk of the price. If we were paying the full price, including those deaths, illnesses, and catastrophes from climate change, then the economics would be different. Right now, our species doesn't have any way of dealing with this problem other than regulation, and that can be a little dicey and certainly difficult to implement because there's a lot of folks don't want regulation because that increases prices. We want cheap fuel, and we're not so concerned about what happens to it after we burn it. So since we don't have the resources, we don't have the mechanisms to deal with this problem, what economists call negative externalities, the matter of dumping our trash out into the environment and letting other people deal with it. We don't have any mechanisms to deal with it other than regulation. And so the solution worldwide and at home is through political action. So how does that impact you and me? Well, here's how it does. Probably the most common question I get asked about climate change and the environment in general is, well, what can I do? Well, one of the things you can do is be politically involved. Of course, we know about making political donations, writing letters, making phone calls. Those things are all important. But, you know, there's a whole other world out there that you can get involved with, and that's the world of the internet, of using social media to make things change politically, to at least work in the direction of things changing politically. Not all of us are good letter writers. Not all of us are good at getting on the phone and calling up somebody we don't know. And if you're like me, if I sent in $20 to everybody that asked me for $20, I'd be broke in about a month. So our financial resources also are limited. A lot of us do have a little spare time that we can take away from some other activity. And a lot of us are pretty skilled with social media and the internet in general. So there you go, a source to make a difference that doesn't cost you any money, that you can do from the leisure of your own home. A couple organizations I've worked with, I'm going to mention to you. One is Common Cause. Common Cause, just like the other organization I'm going to mention, is nonpartisan. They don't ever support any particular party or any particular candidate. What they're focused on is making it possible for people to vote, encouraging people to get out to the polls. They also do a lot of work around misinformation and disinformation, which is an area that I find interesting. As you know, we're awash in a sea of disinformation. I heard an expression, you've probably heard it too, something like, a lie makes it around the world before the truth has got its shoelaces tied. That's the way it is. Lies, misinformation, conspiracy theories are just a lot more interesting than the plain truth. And that's one of the reasons why we see so much of it floating around on the social media. And it's interesting and sometimes often intriguing stuff, but it's misleading and it helps to urge people towards doing stuff that's not the best thing to do. You can't defy reality forever and get away with it, either as an individual or as a society. So one of the things that Common Cause does is it teaches you how to monitor social media, and with the emphasis on monitor, we're not intervening in social media anyway, but when we see misinformation or suspected misinformation, Common Cause provides a route for letting them know about the misinformation that you see or suspect. Common Cause has a relationship with Facebook, and they notify Facebook after they've screened what we give to them as to whether it should be taken down or not. They let Facebook know, then it's up to Facebook to take it down. They do it on other social media too. I only do it on Facebook because that's the one I'm conversant with, but they do it on TikTok, Instagram, and just about any other significant social media you can think of. So we're not rebutting misinformation. That's a mistake because that just highlights misinformation. What we're doing is notifying the media platforms that there's misinformation out there that's harmful, destructive, that it might discourage people from voting, gives false news, things like that. Right now I'm signed up for 1 3-hour shift per week. I can take on more than that if I want to. Probably will. It's actually pretty interesting. The biggest challenge for me is not going down rabbit holes when I see something interesting. Of course, that's the way the social media works. We see something interesting, we click on it, and then we're off to the races. Next thing you know, it's dinner time. So just do a internet search for Common Cause and you can get yourself started. And I think you'll find it rewarding. And as I said at the outset here, the only way we're going to address our environmental and climate change problems is through political action. And the only way we can do that is if we have people elected who reflect our concerns, who understand the science. And the only way we can do that is to get folks out, get them to vote their consciences. Okay, another organization that I've done some work for is the Environmental Voter Project. So strangely enough, folks who are concerned about the environment, apparently, at least according to Environmental Voter Project folks, don't vote as much as the general population. And they're, of course, just the folks that should be voting. So here's how the Environmental Voter Project works. They'll give you a list of names and addresses with a somewhat of a form letter with some spaces for you to fill in your personal stuff. You write in your personal stuff urging people to vote. That's it. You're not asking them to vote for anybody or anything in particular, just saying, hey, I'm going to be voting, here's why I'm voting, and hey, I'm really hoping that you'll get out there and vote too. Environmental Voter Project has got good data showing that they can change the election outcome by a percentage or two, and of course, in a lot of tight races, that's just enough to make it go one way or the other. And of course, we can figure that environmentalists, if they do go out and vote, are going to vote for people who are concerned about, friendly towards the environment. So once again, all you got to do is do an internet search on Environmental Voter Project and go to work. Do it on your own timeline, and I think you'll find it rewarding to know that you are doing something to move the needle on climate change and having a clean environment for our future. And I want to underscore once again, neither one of these groups and others like them have anything to do with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or any of those bipartisan, polarized things that we're so accustomed to these days. It's just working to make the world a better place. Of course, there's plenty more other than Common Cause and Environmental Voter Project. Those are just two that I'm familiar with from my own work. Do some hunting around on the internet. You will find some place you can go to work that's just right for you. Maybe it's phone banking. Personally, I can't do it. I don't like receiving phone calls, spam calls, and it's just not possible, no matter how good the cause is, for me to be part of that problem. Maybe you're good at phone banking or text banking or whatever. There's all kinds of opportunities, and it's a chance for you to move the needle, and together we can move it enough. So that's my pitch for today. Bottom line, if people like you and me who are concerned and aware, who accept the science, don't work hard, then this is not going to be good short, middle, and long term. Not good for you and me, not good for our kids or our grandkids. So blessings on your efforts to get out there and make it happen. So that's it for today. I'd love to hear from you. John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. And that CCO part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. It's one of the good outfits around. There's lots of good outfits. Find yourself a good organization, attach yourself to it, and magnify your voice by doing that. So, once again, reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.